Good morning. Good to see you today. Welcome to our service here at Stony Creek Church. You want to get your outline out of your program so you can follow along with this morning's message. My kids always elbow me because that clip is from a movie that's a favorite at our house, at least with me. And they know that on Father's Day, that's what I'm going to request, The Emperor's Club. It's a great story. If you haven't checked it out, you should do so. 5 days a week, I take a brisk walk for exercise, often through this place that you see up on the screen, the Utica Cemetery. It's just a few blocks away from here. The inhabitants there never give me any hassle about taking a walk there through their home. And in that cemetery, I have stood over open graves performing funeral services. And many graves in that cemetery are very old, representing burials way over 100 years ago. It's fascinating to look at the headstones there. And I often wonder as I pass their graves what sort of people they were, what kind of lives they led, how they were missed when they were when they died, and what, if anything, became of their children and their grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so forth. I can't help thinking, too, that one day, unless Jesus returns first, I'll have a grave like that. 100 years from now, will anybody know who I was? What will have become of my kids and their kids and their kids' kids? The longer I live, the more I want to leave behind a legacy. A legacy is something that's passed down for future generations. And I want to make a legacy, pass down a legacy that will have a positive impact for Christ on the world. How about you? What sort of impact will you make on people that will be remembered long after you're gone? Are you just living for today? Or are you building a legacy? Today is part 11 in our series, The Heart of a Leader. It's the last, actually, in this series. And if you've been with us for a while here, you know it's a series about King David, who was Israel's greatest king, the ancestor of Jesus Christ. David lived 3,000 years ago, and yet his life has many lessons for us about leading in the various venues in which we find ourselves, whether you're a parent or have a leadership role in the workplace or in a friendship or whatever. In today's passage, David is preparing for the future. He's building his legacy. He's always dreamed of building a temple for the Lord in Jerusalem. But God has told him, no, that job is for your son. He's the one who's going to build the temple. Today, we see that David decides, well, if I can't build the temple myself, I can prepare for it by helping my son to build it. So let's look by beginning in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and we pick up in verse 5. And when we come to the yellow print, that's your cue to read aloud with me. It says, David said, my son Solomon is still young and inexperienced, and since the temple to be built for the Lord must be a magnificent structure, famous and glorious throughout the world, help me, I will begin making preparations for it now. So David collected vast amounts of building materials before his death. Then David sent for his son Solomon and instructed him to build a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel. My son, I wanted to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord my God, David told him. But the Lord said to me, you have killed many men in the battles you have fought. And since you have shed so much blood in my sight, you will not be the one to build a temple to honor my name. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace. I will give him peace with his enemies and all the surrounding lands. His name will be Solomon. He is the one who will build a temple to honor my name. He will be my son, and I will be his father. And I will secure the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you and give you success as you follow his directions in building the temple of the Lord your God. How will you be remembered 10 years after you're gone? By your family, by your friends and other people. The title of today's message is Building a Legacy. What impact will your life have 100 years from now? Well, our lesson today can all be wrapped up in our main idea. It's the one thing you should remember if you forget everything else that I say. And if you're taking notes on your outline there, and I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. The calling of a godly leader is to leave a godly legacy. We're going to see that today. We're going to look at six building blocks of a godly legacy. And the first one is point number one on your outline, a grace encounter. That's the first building block of a godly legacy. You know, if you visit Jerusalem today, the spot where David chose for Solomon to build the temple, it's one of the most famous places on the whole planet. It's called the Temple Mount. And Scripture indicates that when Jesus Christ returns to earth in power and great glory, the temple will be rebuilt on that spot. Today, it's the most hotly contested piece of real estate on earth. Right now, the structure that sits there is the Dome of the Rock, one of the holiest places for the religion of Islam. But back in David's day, it was only an empty hill just north of Jerusalem, with nothing more on it than a threshing floor for grain. Look what it says there in 1 Chronicles 22, verse 1. Then David said, "This will be the location for the temple of the Lord God and the place of the altar for Israel's burnt offerings." Why this place? Well, rewind to the message that Chris gave a few weeks ago about the time that God was angry with David, he was angry with Israel, and he brought about a deadly plague on Jerusalem. Do you remember that? I hope you do. An angel appeared over the hill with an outstretched sword, and this was a sign that God was punishing his people. God ordered David to build an altar on that hill and to offer a sacrifice to the Lord God. And when David did so, the Lord answered by sending fire down from the sky to burn up that sacrifice on the altar. And that was showing that God had accepted it. The plague stopped with that demonstration of God's awesome power. And so David purchased that land and decided that this was the place where the altar would be, where the temple would be built for the Lord God, the place where God himself would dwell, where the Ark of the Covenant would rest, where sacrifices for sins would be made, the holiest place on all of planet Earth. Ironically, this was the same place, if you're familiar with biblical history, where Abraham, 1,000 years before David, almost offered his son Isaac. Remember that? He was about to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering to the Lord, and God stopped him and provided a sacrifice in Isaac's place. That happened on this same spot. Jesus himself, 1,000 years after David, would visit this site, and not far from it would die on the cross for our sins. Now, because of that plague incident, David knew this hill as the place where God's wrath had been satisfied, and mercy had been given to David and to Israel. David said, "This is the place where I want to build my legacy, the place where I encountered God's grace, where wrath met with mercy and grace won the day." Now, as we've been learning, David was far from perfect. He was a flawed individual in many ways. We've seen that in this series. And yet, through that all, he was a man after God's own heart. Some of his descendants would be outstanding kings. Others would be miserable rascals and would get Israel and Judah into all kinds of trouble. But David's legacy is to this day. We see him in the Psalms that we have in the Bible, the Temple Mount, of course, and most notably in Jesus Christ. Why has David's legacy endured so well? Well, David founded his legacy on a grace encounter, the place where God's fierce wrath for sin was met with God's mercy and grace won the day. This is where a Christ follower builds his or her legacy, not on personal achievements, but on a grace encounter with Jesus Christ. At the cross, God's wrath was poured out on our sins. The ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, he died, folks, to satisfy God's wrath for our sins, and then he arose from the dead. Jesus embodied everything that the temple stood for. Think about it. Everything that the temple stood for in brick and mortar, Jesus was in real life. Look at it. First of all, the place where God lives. The temple was that, and Jesus was God in human flesh. Secondly, the place of worship. How do we worship God? We worship God through the Jesus to the Father. And so he becomes the place of worship. Thirdly, the place of sacrifice for sins. As we've just talked about, Jesus was the sacrifice to which all the Old Testament sacrifices pointed. David chose that hill for Solomon to build the temple. Now, under the new covenant, the big deal is not a building somewhere, some great palace or temple or church building. No. What we're told in the New Testament is that Jesus is the foundation and that we are the temple. Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so what this passage helps us to do is to picture your life as a temple. You are a temple. And the foundation of that temple is Jesus. If you're a Christ follower, the foundation of your life is Jesus Christ. Everything rests on him. Let me try to help you to visualize how this works. When I became a Christ follower many years ago, my life changed directions. You might say I was heading south, and then I did an about face when I came to Jesus, and I began heading in the opposite direction. I began heading north. And since then, following Jesus, everything that I am or have to offer to others after me flows from that moment, from that about face that took place on January 12, 1973, really dating myself here, when I founded my life on Jesus Christ. That was my hill. That was my grace encounter. I didn't deserve to be saved. God had mercy on me, as he does on everyone who repents and turns to Jesus to be saved. So my question for you today is, have you had that grace encounter? That hill where you repented of your sins and received Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a life-changing event when you realize that you need a Savior, you need Jesus, and you become his follower. Have you come to that hill? This is where the legacy begins. It's all based on him. It's the temple. It comes from that foundation on which you build, Jesus Christ. All right, well, let's look at the second building block of a godly legacy. Number two on your outline, extensive preparation. After David's death, his son Solomon eventually built the temple. It was an amazing structure. And it wasn't amazing because of its size, because it wasn't really huge compared to other temples in the world, other buildings that were much bigger. But what was so notable about it was its beauty its lavishness, and of course, what it stood for. Outside, the structure looked like this, with a big surrounding courtyard. Inside the temple, it was so lavish and stunning, it's become legendary. The entire interior of the temple, the ceiling, the walls, even the floors, were covered with gold. Yes, every square inch covered with gold. You've heard of the streets of gold in heaven. The book of Revelation talks about the streets of gold, a very vivid picture that heaven is going to be, you know, wealth and beauty beyond our imagination. Well, the temple was designed as a miniature model of heaven on earth, the place where God dwells, the place of his footstool, as it's called in the Old Testament. Folks, this was no pup tent. This wasn't a place that you just, you know, threw together, a prefab building or something. The passage we read tells us earlier tells us that David prepared vast amounts of building materials because, as he said in verse 5, the temple to be built for the Lord must be a magnificent structure, famous and glorious throughout the world. David wants this place to have an international reputation. Why? Well, in the larger context, we see that David and later Solomon, they want this place to be a witness to the whole world about who God is, that the nations would come streaming to this place. David tells us down in verses 14 through 16 of 1 Chronicles 22, listen what he says here to Solomon. I have worked hard to provide materials for the building of the temple of the Lord. Now, get a load of this, guys. Look at this. Nearly 4,000 tons of gold. 4,000 tons of gold. 40,000 tons of silver, and so much iron and bronze that it cannot be weighed. I have also gathered timber and stone for the walls, though you may need to add more. You have a large number of skilled stonemasons and carpenters and craftsmen of every kind. You have expert goldsmiths and silversmiths and workers of bronze and iron. Help me out. Now begin the work, and may the Lord be with you. In today's money, if you look at the price of gold today, which I did yesterday and I figured out, I mean, we're talking not just tens, but hundreds of billions of dollars. That's billions of dollars. I looked up that the most expensive building in the world today is something like $14 billion, some place in Saudi Arabia. This way outstrips that. Building a legacy takes preparation, and it's also costly. To build into the life of your kids, for example, you need to prepare yourself. You need to prepare your home, their education, your church involvement, their church involvement, so that it makes a maximum impact on them for God's kingdom. This is not just for parents. It certainly includes them, but all of us are called to make an impact on those around us for the kingdom. And it's costly. It will cost you to spend time to plan and time to spend with them. Parents, if we don't spend time with our kids in activities that promote wholesome and godly values, they're going to default to other activities like just watching whatever on TV or video games or other things that can quickly take them south. How many know? Quickly take them south. Carving out time each day to pray and discuss scripture together in fun and creative ways, not boring ways, because remember, you want to create memories with your kids that are good and that they look back on pleasantly and say, man, that was fun. We learned when we acted out the Bible stories or watched those fun VeggieTale videos or whatever it is. Fun and creative. But that takes time. It takes thoughtful planning. It's so much easier just to wing it or to skip it altogether. They go to Sunday school, you know, that kind of thing. They don't need me, the Sunday school teachers for that. No! Sunday school only supplements what you are supposed to be doing at home. If you're going to invest in mentoring a friend, it's much more than hanging out together. It would include that, But you need to get intentional about discipling that person with growth-producing activities. It takes preparation, folks, to build a legacy. And this is what coaching and mentoring is all about. We see it going on here at Stony Creek Church. Let's look at a third building block of building a godly legacy. Number three on your outline, God's Word. What we call the Bible, or the Holy Scriptures, is God's toolkit for building you into a man or a woman of God. The Bible says that what we have here will fully equip you for every good work. It's all right here. This is the toolkit so that you can positively affect others for the kingdom. Note what David says to Solomon beginning at verse 11. He says, "Now, my son, may the Lord be with you and give you success as you follow his directions in building the temple of the Lord your God. And may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding, help me, that you may obey the law of the Lord your God as you rule over Israel. For you will be successful if you carefully obey the decrees and regulations that the Lord gave to Israel through Moses. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or lose heart." This was the key to success for Solomon. More than anything else, David wanted Solomon to be a man of God's Word. Now, of course, at that time, God's Word, what we call the Bible, simply consisted of not nearly as many books as we now have in the Bible. You had the five books of Moses called the Law of the Lord, which we saw up on the screen. Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books. And we call those books the Pentateuch today. If you want to make an impact on the world for Christ, become a student of the Word of God and assist your kids and others to do so as well. Parents, do your kids see you studying the Bible? Is that an activity they're used to seeing happen around the house? Or do they know it as the book that just sits on the coffee table collecting dust till maybe Sunday comes around? More importantly, do they see biblical principles being lived out in your daily life? For example, do you ask forgiveness when you blow it? Of your spouse and even your kids? Do they see humility and confession modeled in you by asking forgiveness when you blow it? You maybe say, "Well, Randy, I never blow it." Who do you think you are, Chris Bordeaux? Do you serve others before yourself? Do they know you as the one who will give up the best chair or the biggest piece of pie? The one who will race to help somebody? Or the one who will make an excuse? Why, well, I just can't do that. These are biblical principles. Do they see you as making decisions that are based on God's Word? And your kids know that, hey, if you're going to buy a new car or a house or maybe do some remodeling, that mom and dad, they discuss this in light of the principles of God's Word, and they pray about it because what God wants is the most important. And so get into God's Word every day. There are so many ways that you can do that. And if you need help on that, talk with me, talk with Chris or Ken. We'll be glad to assist you in being able to do that every day. Number four, the fourth building block of a godly legacy is personal calling. Building into the life of your kids or someone else doesn't mean that they become a clone of you. You're not just trying to reproduce yourself, your personality and everything. You have a calling, and so do they. And, of course, the callings are going to be different in the vast majority of cases. When our son John was little, he looked like this. Some of you may remember that if you've been around here for a long time. Well, Debbie, around when John was this age, Debbie took him shopping, and Debbie, when she got finished, she's coming out of the store, and she had this load of packages in her arms. And she said, Johnny, she called him Johnny back in those days. It was okay back then to call him Johnny, okay? Now you don't do that. You call him John, okay? She said, Johnny, be a gentleman and open the door for your mom. And John turned around and said, Mom, when I grow up, I'm not going to be a gentleman. I'm going to be a pastor. A real memorable moment, a great line. So I was really excited. He's going to become a pastor, and I hope a gentleman too, right? But it didn't happen. He's not on the road to being a pastor. He wants to be an engineer. That's the way God has equipped him and called him. And you know something? That's all right by me. Because God has not called me to make my kids into a clone of me, and I think they're pretty happy with that. We're to pass on a legacy of godliness, not necessarily following in the exact same calling. David had the good sense to realize that Solomon was not a clone of himself. In fact, God specifically wanted not a warrior. David was a warrior. He wanted a man of peace to build his temple. Let's look at it in verses 8 through 10. But the Lord said to me, this is David recounting the story. He says, the Lord said to me, you have killed many men in the battles you have fought. And since you have shed so much blood in my sight, and by the way, he was doing that on behalf of the Lord. The Lord had called him to do that. But there was something that made him unclean and tainted him in a way for building a temple after having been involved in so much bloodshed. So he wasn't doing wrong by being involved in those battles. And since, let me go back to the passage, and since you have shed so much blood in my sight, you will not be the one to build a temple to honor my name. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace. He is the one who will build a temple to honor my name. Solomon was uniquely chosen for this task. David had his task. Solomon had a different task, much different, but still a godly legacy could be handed down. One of the great qualities of a good leader is the ability to see untapped strengths in other people that they themselves may not see, they may not realize. And that leader can bring out those strengths. And that person that's being led will end up doing things that he or she never thought possible. A good leader can bring the best out in another person and help that person to fulfill the calling that that person has. Your goal is not to make a clone, but to make an impact for the Lord. Let's look at the fifth building block of a godly legacy. Number 5 on your outline is team effort. If you want to train someone to get really good at something that you do, you need to get with that person and do it together. If you want to pass along the skill of fishing to someone, I know we had to cancel that fishing tournament, so that's a little bit of a sore spot. But still, you need to get with that person and go fishing with him or her. If you want somebody to be good, a good baseball player, and you are a good baseball player, you go to practice with that person. Likewise, if you want somebody to follow Jesus well, you need to get with that person and follow Jesus together. You'll notice that David involved Solomon in the preparation process for the temple. In this chapter, 1 Chronicles 22, David is giving instructions and he's showing Solomon about the temple preparation, but he also tells Solomon to begin the preliminary work while David is still living. He says there in verse 8, now begin the work and may the Lord be with you. So he didn't say, just wait till I die. No, he got Solomon involved in it with him because Solomon was inexperienced. David had the experience. But David didn't stop there. He also got other experts involved that could work with Solomon in ways that David was not equipped to work. Look at verse 17. It says, then David ordered all the leaders of Israel to assist Solomon in this project. And so David developed a team around Solomon to help him with this great project. When you see your kid has a passion for music, let's say, or baseball, or drawing, or acting, and you want to assist them in doing that, but maybe it's not your thing, you take them to a coach, or to a teacher, or a team that's really into that stuff so that your kid can get exposed to it and can flourish. Well, it's the same in following Jesus. Maybe you're really gifted in leading worship, but you're not so much into the deep study of the word or maybe apologetics. Or maybe you're a prayer warrior, but you're not gifted in ministering to kids or to teens. If you're going to make an impact on people that you're mentoring or your kids, beyond your own area of passion, you need to get them connected to other people in ministry that can help them to flourish. No Christ follower is a one-man band, like this guy up on the screen. No Christian has all the gifts. And so this is why it's so vital to be connected with the church family, folks. Get your kids involved in ministry where they can get exposed to Christians with other passions and other gifts. Being part of a church is much more than just attending on Sunday morning and then dashing out after the service. No, it's a place of connecting with others that can help you and help those that you're working with to sharpen them where they're weak and sharpen them where they're strong. Check out a small group Bible study, or come to our Wednesday connection nights. You heard about those that in the announcements. Or join up with a ministry team. Maybe you see somebody doing something that you say, you know, I could do that. Get involved, get plugged in, and see how it helps you. Let's look at the sixth building block of a godly legacy. Number six on your outline is devotion to God. Devotion to God. You remember that our first building block was that grace encounter, the hill on which you experience God's grace when you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. He becomes the foundation of your life. That's the foundation of the legacy temple that we're building. But now, as we come full circle, we come to the roof, the cap, the goal of the structure to which everything else in the building points, and that is devotion to the Lord. David tells Solomon and the other leaders in verse 19, he says, "Now seek the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Build the sanctuary of the Lord, God, help me, so that you can bring the ark of the Lord's covenant and the holy vessels of God into the temple built to honor the Lord's name." The purpose of this grand temple was to be a place where God would dwell on earth, the resting place of the Ark of the Covenant, the center of worship for Israel and the world. The most important thing for that to happen was not the acquisition of gold or silver or stone or even great planning or skilled workers. No, the bottom line was seeking the Lord. David knew that everything depended on this, if the legacy was really going to happen. What's the bottom line of life? Is it a successful career? Is it having lots of toys? A big inheritance passed down to your kids? A happy marriage and family? Yeah, that's it, right? Great retirement? Those are all nice things. I wish them on all of you. All right? But none of those things, or even all of those things combined, is the bottom line of life. If you have all of that stuff, but you miss the bottom line of life, which is devotion to the Lord, you've missed out, and you are forever lost. If you succeed in nothing more than devotion to God, you have lived a successful life, folks. That's really the lesson of King David. How will you be remembered 10 years after you're gone? By your family, your friends, and other people? What impact will your life have 100 years from now? A long time ago, back in the 18th century, lived a man named Jonathan Edwards. This dude, he lived more 250 years ago, more than that. How many have ever heard of Jonathan Edwards? A good number of you have. But even if you haven't heard of him, he was a godly man who built into the lives of his family and many other people. He made a huge impact for the kingdom long after his death. Jonathan and his wife Sarah had 11 kids, one more than the Russells have had, all right? So this was a big family. He wanted to make an impact. About 150 years after his death, someone traced out the descendants of Jonathan Edwards, and I'm sure that was a big job, and that was before they had the internet. At that point, Jonathan Edwards' legacy included, listen to this, one U.S. vice president, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers. We'll have to forgive him for that one. And he makes up for it in this one, 100 missionaries. The dude lived a long time ago, but his life legacy lives on. How do you build a legacy? Well, you start by becoming a Christ follower, by founding your life on Jesus Christ. And then as you grow in Christ, you bring others along with you, impacting their lives with a godly example and with leadership. We're going to close our service in just a few moments, ask the band to come and lead us in a closing song, and the ushers to prepare for the offering. What is God speaking to you today, this morning, here? Maybe you say, I've never come to that hill, that grace encounter, where I've surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and become his follower. If that's you today, you can become a Christ follower here and now. If you'd like to learn more about that, come on down and talk with our pastoral prayer team. They'll be down here on, for you, the right side of the platform. Maybe God is calling you to step up your involvement in working with your kids, or maybe there's somebody in your life you know you could be a real help as a mentor, as a leadership person in that person's life. Why not make today the day where you decide to do that and begin the legacy for that person? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the life of David. We learn an incredible amount from this man who lived so long ago. He has a legacy, Lord, that he's passed down to us. He wasn't perfect, but that reminds us that we don't have to be perfect for you to do a great thing in our lives that gets passed down to others. Lord, I pray that today we would realize that the place to begin that is with that grace encounter. And I pray, Lord, that new foundations would be laid today, Jesus Christ, in the lives of people that have not laid that foundation yet. And that for those of us who have, we'd really begin building on that foundation, materials that will endure many, many years afterward. Father, thank you for these the gifts that you have given to us. We give you of our tithes and offerings now as an act of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.